Avco Embassy Pictures, International Film Investors, Goldcrest Films International present John Carpenter's Escape from New York. A Deborah Hill production. Starring Kurt Russell. Lee Van Cleef. Ernest Borgnine. Donald Pleasance. Isaac Hayes. Special appearance by Susan Hubley. Tom Atkins. Charles Cyphers. Harry Dean Stanton's Brain. And Adrienne Barbeau as Maggie. Director of Photography, Dean Cundy. Production Designer, Joe Alves. Film Editor, Todd Ramsey. Music by John Carpenter, in association with Alan Howarth. Associate Producer, Barry Bernardi. Written by John Carpenter and Nick Castle. Produced by Larry Franco. Produced by Deborah Hill. Directed by John Carpenter. A caption reads, 1988, the crime rate in the United States rises 400%.
In 1988, the crime rate in the United States rises 400%.
A map showing Manhattan Island.
The once great city of New York becomes the one maximum security prison for the entire country. A 50-foot containment wall is erected along the New Jersey shoreline, across the Harlem River, and down along the Brooklyn shoreline. It completely surrounds Manhattan Island. All bridges and waterways are mined. The United States Police Force, like an army, is encamped around the island. There are no guards inside the prison, only prisoners and the worlds they have made. The rules are simple. Once you go in, you don't come out.
Computer graphic of the Statue of Liberty, 1997. A caption reads, now. Nighttime. A police jeep pulls up in front of a high stone wall. The driver listens to his radio receiver.
This is Gotham 4, North Bay, Station 17. I have an escape in progress. Object in mid-bay moving toward the wall.
High on the wall, a stone plaque reads, New York Maximum Security Penitentiary, Manhattan Island. Atop the wall, armed police guards patrol, the Manhattan skyline behind them. A police helicopter flies over the water. The twin towers stand completely unlit. In the murky darkness, two figures are paddling away from the island on a raft. A searchlight from the helicopter flashes across the water. Two men lie paddling on a makeshift raft.
You have 10 seconds. Turn around. the island.
A monitor displays a crosshair. The helicopter fires missiles into the water. The men paddle on. A gloved hand on a joystick. The paddling men are blown to pieces. The helicopter flies away from darkened Manhattan. The helicopter flies over the Statue of Liberty. A guard with visored helmet, gun raised, stands under it. A grey-haired police officer talks into his radio.
Gotham 4, confirm the kill.
Circle the base, over.
Security, this is Remy. We have confirmation from Gotham 4. We have a kill at Mid-Harbor, south of the battery. Two in the water, dead.
Two confirmed.
Very well.
Remy walks into a control room, situated at the foot of the statue.
Air traffic, this is Remy.
In stark lettering, a sign reads, Liberty Island Security Control. On a vast landing area glistening with puddles, helicopters are dotted around. Armed policemen in black uniforms and visored helmets. A helicopter comes in to land. A bus pulls up. Alighting from the bus, Snake Plissken, a roguishly handsome man, muscular, bearded, in his 30s. His hands are shackled, and he's escorted by three armed guards. From a freeway above the landing area hangs a huge American flag. Inside, metal stairs going down. Snake Plissken leads the way. A sign reads, no talking, no smoking, follow the orange line.
Attention, you are now entering the debarkation area. No talking, no smoking. Follow the orange line to the processing area. The next scheduled departure to the prison is in 2 hours. You now have the option to terminate and be cremated on the premises. If you elect this option, notify the duty sergeant in your processing area.
They walk past several curious uniformed police. Snake has an eye patch over his left eye.
Hold it.
Snake halts. He has brown, shoulder-length hair and wears a scruffy leather jacket. Beside a black police helicopter with a big white 3 on the side, Remy smokes a cigarette. A sleek silver limousine pulls up. From the limousine emerges a balding, lean, older man with a craggy face, dressed head-to-toe in black. Bob Houck.
We got a small jet in trouble over restricted airspace.
Where is it?
7 miles out and closing.
Remy and Houck head off across the busy landing area. Inside, they walk into a dimly lit, windowless control room. Uniformed workers sit in front of monitors. Remy, in his 40s, sports a full moustache.
Been on the horn for the past 20 minutes. We haven't been able to reach him. There was a transmission 10 minutes ago. He identified as David 14, and all of a sudden he was cut off.
David 14, acknowledge. David 14, I'm calling Air Rescue. Squawk 7700, contact on 121.5. There's still no reply. Bayonne, I have a mayday in restricted space.
New York, I have.
Who is he?
I don't know.
You have the code?
There's no David 14 on the computer.
Unlisted?
Unregistered code. We telex Washington. Still waiting for a reply.
I think I got him, sir.
The two men stand behind the radio operator.
It's too late, asshole. All your imperialist weapons and lies can't save him now. We're going down. We're going to crash.
David 14, acknowledge.
Code's coming in, sir.
They head over to read a different monitor. Bright green lettering reads, Aircraft Ident, Code David 14, Craft, Air Force One. Stunned Remy looks over to wide-eyed Houck. A jet, Air Force One, flies through the air. A pretty blonde woman pilots it. A dead crewman sits, mouth open, beside her.
Tell this to the workers when they ask where your leader went. We, the soldiers of the National Liberation Front of America, in the name of the workers and all the oppressed of this imperialist country, have struck a fatal blow to the racist police state.
What better revolutionary example than to let their president perish in the inhuman dungeon of his own imperialist prison? The bosses of the racist...
Unlock the pod! She's bolted the door.
Can't you shoot off the lock?
No, sir. She's pressurized the cabin.
How about lifting the door off at the hinges?
No, sir.
The bald president handcuffs himself to a brown briefcase.
Get me to the pod.
He moves to the back of the plane, past his advisors and guards. A large, red, egg-shaped pod, emblazoned with a presidential insignia, is revealed. A chunky, watch-like device is attached to his wrist.
This is a locating device to trace you if you become separated from the pod. I'm activating it now.
The president, brown briefcase chained to his wrist, clambers into the high-tech, one-man escape pod.
God save me and watch over you all.
The pod lid closes. From the security wall overlooking Manhattan Harbor, a policeman watches the jet fly low towards skyscrapers.
Computer simulation, tracking Air Force One.
A pilot's eye view of Manhattan looms. On a monitor, a computer-generated image of a jet crashes into a skyscraper.
He's down!
That's the escape pod.
On the monitor, a flashing red blip heads to ground.
40 degrees. 50 yards from impact. I'm going in.
Policemen with rifles scurry across the landing area. Tail blades on the helicopter whirl round. Squads of policemen board helicopters, which then lift off. A black chopper with a large white 8 painted on the side lifts into a starless sky. Towering grey wall, topped with barbed wire. Printed on it in black, Station 21. Helicopters fly over it and head toward Manhattan.
One dummy of Larry. Over the battery. We're moving down. Crash site ahead.
Remy is hunched over monitors in the control room. The helicopters, with bright lights ablaze underneath, lower into a city square. Number 3 helicopter lands gently. An armed police spill out, wielding guns with attached torches. An urban wasteland with little illumination. Squads of policemen race down a street, past discarded wrecked furniture. Hauk appears behind them, scanning the area. He has a silver earring in his left ear. Buildings are derelict, fires burn on the sidewalk. The street is covered in debris and rubbish. Policemen stand guard, scanning round warily as Hauk marches up. In a ruined building, the bright red presidential escape pod stands cracked and open. Hauk peers in, empty. He glances around. A fire burns just behind him. Policemen stand tensed. Shadowy figures appear a block away. Policemen train their weapons towards the source of the noise. Hauk stares grimly down the wreckage-strewn street. Out of the darkness struts a bizarre character. Romero, a short, skinny man with a painted white face, a shock of spiky blonde hair, dressed in raggedy shirt and jacket. He bows before Hauk.
You touch me, he dies. If you're not in the air in 30 seconds, he dies. If you come back in, he dies.
He presents a bloodied handkerchief on which rests a severed ringed finger.
20 seconds.
I'm ready to talk.
19. 18.
What do you want?
17. 16.
Let's go.
Hal and his bodyguards run off. Romero opens his mouth wide and exhales at them as they scamper away back to the waiting helicopters. The black uniformed police pile through the side doors of the choppers, which take off. In the control room, Hauk is seen.
He's right here, Mr. Vice President.
Hauk picks up a telephone.
This is Bob Hall. We can't. If we move in with choppers, they'll kill him. We're lucky if he's not dead already. They don't want anything yet. By the time they figure out what they want, it'll be too late.
Tell them we have to go with your plan now.
We can't wait till tomorrow. If we have to move in and take the island, it's a last resort. It's 8:45. I want permission to try a rescue. Thank you.
In his office, Hauk pulls a revolver from a desk drawer. He looks up at an armed police guard.
All right.
He's dangerous, sir.
I know. I'll be okay.
The guards leave and close the door. Snake, his wrists shackled, swaggers forward. Snake sits opposite Hauk in an upholstered leather chair and raises his manacled hands inquiringly.
I'm not a fool, Plissken.
Call me Snake.
Snake sneers. Hauk, wearing spectacles, examines notes.
S.D. Plissken. American, Lieutenant, Special Forces Unit Black Blight. Two Purple Hearts, Leningrad and Siberia. Youngest man to be decorated by the President. He robbed the Federal Reserve Depository. Life sentence, New York Maximum Security Penitentiary. I'm ready to kick your ass out of the world, war hero.
Snake reaches into a box on the desk and takes out a cigarette. He strikes a match and lights it.
Who are you?
Hauk. Police Commissioner.
Bob Hauk.
Special Forces Unit Texas Thunder. We heard of you too, Plissken.
Why are we talking?
I have a deal for you. You receive full pardon for every criminal action you've committed in the United States. It was an accident. About an hour ago, a small jet went down inside New York City. The President was on board.
President of what?
That's not funny, Plissken. You go in, find the President, bring him out in 24 hours, and you're a free man.
24 hours, huh?
I'm making you an offer.
Bullshit.
Straight, just like I said.
I'll think about it.
No time. Give me an answer.
Get a new president.
We're still at war, Plissken. We need him alive.
I don't give a fuck about your war. Or your president.
Is that your answer?
I'm thinking about it.
Think hard.
Snake takes a leisurely drag on his cigarette and, head tilted, eyes Hauk warily with his one good eye.
Why me?
You flew the Gulfire over Leningrad. You know how to get in quiet. You're all I've got.
I guess I go in one way or the other. Doesn't mean shit to me. Give me the paper.
When you come out?
Before.
I told you I wasn't a fool, Plissken.
Call me Snake.
Some of them have cars. They took old junkers that were left behind, converted them to steam. We think they may also have a gasoline source in there. And power. They have greenhouses, rigged up generators. Some areas have streetlights. They're crazies. They live in the subways. Complete control of the underground. They're night raiders.
Tracer, send the radio signal for 15 minutes. If you push it, we can track you on radar. It's like Leningrad. But they added something, a safety catch.
A table laden with equipment. A belt, gun, ammunition, night goggles and more. A metallic bracelet with a hawk image that flips up to reveal a red button beneath.
Where am I landing?
Top of the World Trade Center, only place you can land. They won't see it, and you can take off from a free fall. On the roof is a service elevator. It's still operational. You use it to infiltrate the prison. Now there's a power box. It'll activate the elevator down to 50. From there on down, you walk.
You can locate the president by his vital signs bracelet on his wrist. Sends off a sync pulse. Use this. Homing device. Shows direction and distance.
He leads Snake into a medical office.
Strong antitoxin stops bacteria and viral growth for 24 hours.
Banks of machinery, wall charts of physiognomy, a young medic in a white coat faces Snake.
Take off your jacket.
I'll be all right. Let's go, Fisker.
Hauk grabs a needle. Snake takes off his jacket.
I don't like needles.
He sits up on the counter. Hauk straps a watch-like digital counting device to his wrist. It reads...
22 hours, 59 minutes, 57 seconds.
We talked about 24.
In 22 hours, the Hartford summit meeting will be over. China and the Soviet Union will go back home. Now, the president was on his way to the summit when his plane went down. He has a briefcase attached to his wrist. The tape recording inside has to reach Hartford in 22 hours.
What's on it?
You know anything about nuclear fusion?
All right.
It's the survival of the human race, Plissken. Something you don't give a shit about.
They sneer at each other. The medic wipes each side of Snake's neck.
I'm going to inject you. It'll sting for a second or two.
He sticks two gun-like injecting tools onto Snake's neck and pulls their triggers simultaneously. Snake jerks, biting his lip.
That's it, Plissken.
Snake, in his tight-fitting, rubber-effect sleeveless top, leaps down.
Tell him. Tell me what?
That idea you had about turning the Gulf fire around 180 degrees and flying off to Canada.
What did you do to me, asshole?
My idea, Plissken. Something we've been fooling around with. Two microscopic capsules lodged in your arteries. They're already starting to dissolve. In 22 hours, the cores will completely dissolve. Inside the cores are a heat-sensing charge. Not a large explosive, about the size of a pinhead. Just big enough to open up both your arteries. I'd say you'd be dead in 10 or 15 seconds.
Come out now. They're protected by the cores. 15 minutes before the last hour's up, we can neutralize the charge with X-rays.
Snake throttles red-faced Hauk, then relents. The counter on Snake's wrist reads 22, 57, 36.
We'll burn out the charges if you have the president.
What if I'm a little late?
No more Hartford summit, and no more Snake Plissken.
Snake stares back coldly.
When I get back, I'm gonna kill you.
The Gulf fire's waiting.
In pitch dark, a jeep drives along a runway and stops. Snake leaps from the back. He's wearing his brown leather jacket over his black sleeveless top, light-coloured patterned jeans, and heavy boots with metal shin pads. On the runway, there is a sleek, bullet-nosed one-man glider guarded by police. Snake lifts the cockpit canopy and climbs inside. He throws his cigarette onto the tarmac and pulls down the canopy. The instrument panel lights up.
I'm ready.
21 hours.
Suppose he's dead, Hauk. If I come back without him, you burn these things out?
Get them both back, Plissken.
And remember, once you're inside, you're on your own.
Oh, you mean I can't count on you?
No.
Good.
Out of the inky blackness, a small plane takes off. Towed on a line behind it is Snake's Gulfire glider. In the control room, Hauk checks a monitor. Master life clock traces status, 20:17:42. Snake checks the matching timer on his wrist. He grips the glider's joystick. He unclips his Hawk bracelet, revealing the red button.
Freezer test confirmed at 20 hours, 17 minutes, 30 seconds.
The Gulfire wings its way low over water towards Manhattan. Snake's eye-patched face is illuminated by the glider's instrument panel. Monitors display grid-defined digital images of Manhattan Island.
Are you picking up the target blip?
One glider monitor shows a nose view.
Right on course.
The monitor reads altitude 5.85 and falling. The glider flies above tall buildings. Snake concentrates. The tiny airplane sinks lower and flies betwixt darkened skyscrapers. The gunfire twists sideways.
Been a while.
Monitors show the gunfire flying low just above city streets, buildings all around.
How's your altitude?
The glider nips over a skyscraper.
Bliskin? Bliskin, what are you doing?
Playing with myself. I'm going in.
Three monitors represent computer graphics of the surrounding buildings as the gunfire steers a course between them. The nose view monitor reads altitude 1.75. Just ahead is a flat rooftop. The glider skims towards it. The monitor reads drop off in space meters. It thumps down. Drop off in 95 meters, 90, 85, 80, 75, 70, 65, 60. The glider hurtles across the roof. Snake fires a spiked anchor on the line, which embeds itself. Drop off in 10 meters. The glider comes to rest. The gunfire hangs precariously on the edge.
Bliskin. Bliskin.
Hauk sits nervously, with Remy hovering. Snake, jacketless, marches across the rooftop. He wears a utility belt with a holstered pistol. He squats down by a power box attached to a wall, opens it, and fuses wires together, creating sparks. He twists wires together and reseals the box, which is adjacent to the metal doors of an elevator. The elevator doors slide open. Snake enters the darkened lift. Hauk sits by the microphone.
I'm inside the World Trade Center on the 50th floor. Just like Leningrad, Hauk.
Is the glider intact?
Yeah, but taking off is for shit. I'll work it out.
You'll have to use the east stairwell. It's gonna take you a little while to get ground level. Call me when you get outside.
Snake's timer reads 19 hours, 22 minutes, 43 seconds. He retracts the aerial on his walkie-talkie. He is in a furnitureless, heavily graffitied room. A figure flits past a nearby doorway. Now armed with a scoped automatic rifle, Snake walks down dark streets, scanning all around. Derelict and boarded up buildings, rubbish strewn in the road, a small fire blazes. A bystander watches Snake pass. In the road, discarded furniture. And another small fire a block away. Smoke rises from small fires. There is no light from any buildings. The wreckage of a jet lies up ahead. Snake trudges through the smoke to the tail of the plane, which is adorned with the Stars and Stripes flag. The jet is broken apart. Snake strides past fire-blackened fuselage. Shadowy figures scurry past. Snake slings the automatic rifle over his shoulder and pulls out the aerial on his walkie-talkie.
I'm at the plane. Nobody else made it, Hauk. Wait a minute.
A flashing red light on Snake's tracer.
I've got his pulse. Right up ahead, moving northwest.
He stows the walkie-talkie in his belt and checks his timer. 18 hours, 50 minutes, 17 seconds, and counting down. clutching his flashing handheld tracer, Snake stalks along the street, rifle held ready in his right hand. Fires burn in the street, flashing light onto damaged buildings. Snake strides purposefully toward a derelict theatre building. He stops in front of doors with frosted glass panes and checks the tracer. He examines the doors and walls. A shadowy figure emerges from within and scoots off. Snake hurries over to the door and, gun at the ready, he opens it and steps inside. Torches burn on wall mountings. Candles burn in a candelabra. A man is slumped over a desk littered with cans. Snake strides through. Snake pauses in a doorway and walks through. An audience is scattered around a high-ceilinged auditorium, watching five men in drag dancing on a far stage. Among the watching hobos, a man in his 50s, Cabby. Wearing a peaked yellow cap, he's grinning manically and jigging along in his seat. The men on stage are wearing extravagant feminine costumes and dancing with synchronized, exaggerated gestures. Cabby's head bobs up and down enthusiastically. Snake advances. Cabby spots Snake passing out of the corner of his eye. Snake disappears through a far doorway. Snake, holding the tracer out in front of him, steps into a litter-strewn room, the walls covered in graffiti. He looks down a steep, dimly lit stairwell. Cabby appears.
Hey, you're Snake Plissken, ain't you?
Cabby's eyes are gleaming.
What do you want?
Nothing.
I thought you were dead.
Snake lowers his gun and heads downstairs.
Hey, you don't want to walk around down there, Snake.
The red light on the handheld tracer flashes intermittently. Snake descends into the gloom, gun held out in front of him. In one room off the shabby corridor, a simple campfire burns on the floor. Another room, a thug sways clapping, while two others manhandle a comatose woman. They hold her up and rip off her shirt, exposing her breasts. Another man sits watching. Snake looks on curiously and continues on his way, using his rifle to brush past a raggedy curtain. An old tramp in a battered hat sits on the floor by a small fire.
Hi, Chief. Nice night. Nice boots. Nice boots. Hey.
Snake dispatches two armed thugs with a headbutt and a forearm smash.
Easy now, Chief. I'm walking.
The tramp leaves. The next room. A hulking figure stands over his victim, punching down repeatedly. On the victim's wrist, the presidential locating device. The tracer light flashes rapidly. Snake kicks the attacker in the back, knocking him down.
Mr. President.
I'm the president. Sure, I'm the president. I knew when I got this thing, I'd be president.
The victim, wearing the device, is a wide-eyed, bearded hobo.
Where'd you get it?
Well, woke up and there it was. It's like a miracle.
Snake smashes it. Back in the control room, the president vital data monitor flatlines.
Jesus. It
may be just an impact on the mechanism itself.
Alk.
I'm right here, Plissken.
president.
Hail to the chief.
All right, get your machine ready. I'm coming out.
18 hours, Plissken.
Listen to me, Hauk. The president is dead. You got that? Somebody's had him for dinner.
Plissken, if you get back in that glider, I'll shoot you down. You climb out, I'll burn you off the wall. You understand that, Plissken?
Snake looks down at his walkie-talkie, exhales and nods.
A little human compassion.
He rests his gun up on his right shoulder as he walks past boarded up doorways. He finds the red presidential pod, which sits opened up in the ruins of a building. Snake searches around and sets upright a battered chair. He slumps down on it, stroking his long hair back. He scratches his neck and looks up to the skies. Down the street in the distance, a shadowy figure scoots across and bashes a manhole cover with an iron rod. The man is wearing a medieval-style metal helmet, fur cloak and fur boots. Still sitting, Snake watches him scuttle off, bashing on other manhole covers. Snake sets off down the street, unslinging his gun. At his feet, a manhole cover is lifted and shoved aside from underneath. Snake trains his gun. Shadowy figures spill out onto the street behind him. Snake runs off. Weapon at the ready, Snake backs up to a street corner. Ragged street people pop out of manholes and pour down the street. Several are limping. One man carries a club. Snake keeps pace with them. On a boarded-up store called Chock Full of Nuts, graffiti reads, "I love New York." Snake backs into it. A deserted, ruined cafe. On a rubbish-strewn floor, rats mill around his shiny leather boots. One foot breaks through a floorboard. He drags his foot back out of the hole. On the alert, he prowls to the back of the room. Seen through the frosted glass windows, the street gang lumber past. Snake suddenly whirls round, pointing his gun.
You a cop?
No.
You got a gun?
She stands in darkness.
You got a smoke?
A pretty young woman in furs. Looking round warily, Snake tosses her a packet of cigarettes. She strikes a match off her leg.
Keep your hand over it.
It's all right if we're quiet, they won't hear us. Hey, this is a real one. You just get in?
What's going on out there?
Crazies. End of the month, they're out of food.
She has spiky blonde hair and a full red lipstick mouth.
Skulls? Are you kidding? I'm with the Turks now. I just got caught on the street after dark and I'm stuck here all night.
Plane crashed 7 hours ago near 8th Avenue. Did you see it?
No.
Shit.
He sags down on a chair.
You're a cop.
I'm an asshole.
She moves closer.
Wait a minute. I know who you are. Yeah, but I heard you were dead.
I am.
Wow, Snake Plissken, all right. What you doing in here with a gun, Snake?
Looking for somebody.
Who?
The president.
You really here?
somewhere.
She stares into his eye and leans in yet closer.
Can you find him? You gonna take him out?
Mm-hmm.
Take me out with you, Snake.
Why?
I can think of lots of reasons why.
She kisses him on the lips. A man bursts up out of the floor, and floorboards break under the girl. The girl disappears through the floor. Snake shoots at the street gang charging in. One man climbs up through a hole in the floor. A man wields a crowbar, smashing a window from outside. Snake flees into a back room, punches out a window, and crawls out onto a fire escape ladder. He jumps down onto a gantry, kicks in a window, and clambers through. He drags a wooden bookcase over to block it. Ruffians swarm after him, and he shoots the hand off one of them. He kicks down a door, scans around, and shoots holes in a man-sized oval pattern in the wall facing him. He dives through the weakened plaster into another room. He kicks out another window to the outside and climbs down a large pipe. His gun hangs by its strap off his back. He climbs on boxes and heaves himself up a high wall. His walkie-talkie shatters on the ground. Gun at the ready, he runs down an alleyway. He glances behind to see his pursuers climbing over the wall. He races off down another alleyway. A narrow passage between windowless stone walls. He checks behind again. No sign of the gang. Up ahead, a yellow cab pulls up. Cabbie sticks his head out, smiling.
Where you going, buddy?
Snake checks behind one more time and jumps in. A battered cassette player plays a tape.
Bad neighborhood, Snake. You don't want to be walking from the Bowery to 42nd Street at night. I've been driving a cab here for 30 years, and I'm telling you, you don't walk around here at night. Yes, sir. It'll kill you, strip you in 10 seconds flat. Usually, I'm not down around here myself, but I wanted to catch that show. This stuff is like gold around here, you know.
Cabbie lobs a Molotov cocktail at the gang.
Hey, Snake, when'd you get in? I didn't even know they caught you. Oh, Snake Plissken in my cab? Wait till I tell Eddie. Hey, hang on, Snake.
Cabbie hauls the driving wheel around, and the cab skids round corners past wrecked vehicles. Snake sits calmly in the back.
Hey, what were you doing back there, Snake?
Looking for somebody.
Well, why didn't you ask me? Hell, I know everybody in this town. Yes, sir, I've been driving this cab for 30 years, this very same cab.
I'm gonna ask you. Now, where's the president?
The Duke got him. Everybody knows the Duke's got him. Well, you don't have to put a gun to my head, I'll tell you.
Who's the Duke?
The Duke? The Duke of New York, eh, number one? The big man, that's who.
Snake lifts his gun from wide-eyed Cabbie's neck.
I want to meet this Duke.
You can't meet the Duke. Are you crazy? Nobody gets to meet the Duke. You meet him once and then you're dead.
The muzzle of the gun is pressed on Cabbie's neck. He carries on driving, mouth hanging open in fear. On a deserted street, the cab stops, its headlights dim. Cabbie and Snake emerge. They walk down the street.
I hate to leave her on the street. Usually I don't leave her alone at all. But you're a special case, Snake.
Up the stone steps of the New York Public Library, a towering marble building fronted by high columns. It is in darkness. Cabbie takes off a shoe and bashes its heel on the front doors. He puts his ear to the doors. Snake keeps watch.
It's okay, Snake. It's a better neighborhood. You can relax.
timer reads 1740:45.
Thanks. Boy, they got a great place here, like a fortress.
They?
Who is it?
It's me.
Who's me?
Kirby.
What do you want?
Somebody wants to see Brain. It's important.
No way, Kirby.
You know it's Snake. Snake Plissken.
Cabby nods back at Snake. The door opens. A pretty young brunette comes out and runs her eyes up and down Snake.
You're Plissken?
He wants to see Brain.
Why?
She eyes him coolly. Snake advances, his eye-patched face half in shadow.
I want to meet the Duke.
A slight smile forms on his lips. Slowly, her stony expression softens and she smiles back. She turns, and he follows her inside. Cabby checks round nervously, ducks in, and closes the door behind them.
Hey, you remember this place, Snake? It used to be the public library. Oh, that Brain, he's the greatest. Mr. Fabulous. The Duke loves him.
Who's that?
That's Maggie. Brain Squeeze. The Duke gave her a Brain just to keep him happy. See what I mean?
Heard you were dead.
Carrying a flaming torch, Maggie leads them down a corridor and into a large chamber full of machinery.
Brain? Brain! I brought somebody to see you.
Snake stops and stares.
Harold Hellman.
A disheveled man in a white lab coat.
Snake?
Harold?
How you been, Harold? It's been a long time.
You never told me you knew Snake Plissken, Brain.
Isn't that great? Hey, Brain, I can use some gas if you can spare some.
I'm glad you remember me. Yeah. Man should remember his past. Kansas City, 4 years ago, you ran out on me. You left me sitting there.
You were late.
We were buddies, Harold. You, me, and Fresno Bob. You know what they did to Bob?
He kicks Brain's chair back against the wall.
You want to see him sprayed all over that map, baby? Where's the president?
Swear to God, Snake, I don't know.
Don't fuck with me. Why do you want to know?
I want him.
Working for the man now, huh?
And I'll just beat it out of your squeeze.
Maggie doesn't know exactly where he is, and unless you know exactly precisely where he is, you'll never find him.
Buxom Maggie is holding a knife behind Snake. Snake lifts his gun away from Brain's throat. Brain wears a scruffy black cravat.
Listen, I'll take you out of here. Yeah. Jet glider just a couple of blocks down the street. Now all you gotta do is get me to him.
No kidding? On the level? Hey, will you take me too?
We got a deal somewhere else.
No glider.
We've got the president. And the Duke's taking everybody out of here.
Never happened, baby. You see, I know something you and the Duke don't know. Only got so long before Mr. President doesn't mean a whole lot.
You're lying.
Maybe he's not.
I know him. Look at his face. He's lying.
Right, Harold. I'm lying. So I might as well have some fun and keep looking by myself.
Brain!
Talk to him, baby.
Brain, you'll kill us both of
you. Brain, you gotta tell him. Tell him!
All right, Harold!
Brain jerks to his feet. Snake lowers his gun.
You always were smart, Harold.
Just one thing right now. Don't call me Harold.
So you work for this Duke, huh?
Yeah. Making gas for him. Figure out things for him.
Like what?
Like how to get across the 69th Street Bridge. It's mined, but I know where they're planted.
We got a diagram from a guy that got all the way across before they shot the poor bastard.
Mm-hmm. We got a crew up there now clearing away the first barricade.
Oh, what a sight, Snake. The whole camp rolling right across the bridge and the president right out in front. Oh, that would have been so fine.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, well, we're going with Snake now. That's the Duke. I know the sound of his engines. Don't cross the Duke. Everybody knows that.
Double-banked headlights appear in the dark. Cabby is no longer with them. His cab reverses and drives off.
Cabby, you slime!
A white Cadillac is approaching. Brain turns to run. Maggie grabs him.
Ready!
The couple sprint off in the opposite direction. Snake lopes after them. All three press themselves up against a wall and peer around the corner. The white Cadillac has a raised rear suspension and two crystal chandeliers attached to the bonnet. A disco mirror ball hangs from the rearview mirror. Inside, mean-looking black dudes in sunglasses. The Cadillac leads other battered vehicles. Snake, Maggie and Brain watch from a distance as the convoy pulls up in front of the library. Cadillac's rear suspension lowers. The driver steps out. The Duke, a handsome black guy in a fedora and shades, wears a naval-style officer's coat. He is joined by Romero, a pasty-faced urchin. Romero heads for the library front doors.
He's looking for you, Brain.
What does he want?
He wants my diagram of the bridge. When he finds out I'm with you, he's gonna want my life.
Shit, Pliskin, I knew I should have...
Let me get to the president now while he's busy.
Forget it, he's on the other side of town and we've got no wheels. The deal is off.
Just calm down.
In a yellow station wagon with barred windows, one of Duke's gang sits waiting. Another gang member, wearing a camouflage hat, sits on the bonnet. Snake sneaks down the sidewalk behind them. Snake hits the driver through the barred window and slips unnoticed by the other guy into the car. The man on the bonnet finally looks round and can't see anybody in the car. He investigates, scanning the street, and then going to open the driver's door. Snake lunges and punches. Snake drives the car a dozen yards to collect Maggie and Brain. They jump in, as the original driver is dumped out the other side, unconscious. Snake drives off. Maggie and Brain are sitting in the back.
I think they saw us. Turn left here.
Brain taps Snake on the shoulder. The car picks its way down a street scattered with rubbish. Smoke billows from the exhaust.
Brain, this is Broadway.
I know. The Duke will take 7th Avenue. Broadway's got 5 minutes.
No!
Yes! Keep driving.
What's wrong with Broadway?
They drive past burning furniture. A man's severed head has been stuck on a spike. Up ahead, a gang of men armed with clubs.
Come on, sweetheart.
The street ruffians hurl rubble at the car as it passes between them. Bricks bounce off its side panels and bars.
Come on, Brain.
Brain passes a handgun to Maggie. The car drives along a white line, pelted and battered, by a line of thugs on both sides of the street. Burning rods are stuck in the driver's door. The car is attacked with sticks and clubs. Snake sneers out at the attackers, while Brain cowers. One man jumps onto the car bonnet, rolling around, until Snake blasts him away.
Maggie!
A hand grabs Brain through the window. Maggie shoots. His assailant is blown into a comrade's arms. The street is blocked by a wall of wrecked cars piled high. Snake makes a 3-point turn. The shadows of the pursuing rabble appear on a far wall. Snake checks his rearview mirror.
Hold on.
The mob charge, waving primitive weapons. Snake accelerates backwards into the wall of cars. They punch a hole right through the wall, scattering wrecked vehicles. Snake drives away, watched by the mob who give up the chase. The yellow station wagon, with brown wooden effect side panels, bucks over the uneven roads and comes to a halt.
He's in the third car from the end by the last campfire.
Brain points to his right. In the other direction, in the distance, they spot the Duke's convoy, Cadillac at the front.
It's All right, he's got to go in the front way. It'll take him 5 minutes. If you're not back to the car in 4 minutes, you're on your own.
When we get there, Harold, you just keep talking.
They drive toward the abandoned train carriages. Men are standing, clustered round campfires in front of the carriages. Maggie and Brain climb out of the car and head toward the campfires. Snake hops out last and creeps into the darkness. Brain and Maggie walk up to the guards.
Hi, guys.
The light from the flames illuminate members of Duke's gang, who eye Brain warily. Snake creeps along a carriage roof.
Hey, how's it going? Cooled off a little, huh?
What do you want, Brain?
Duke told us to wait inside. He's on his way here now.
He didn't say nothing to us about it.
Well, you can't expect me to tell everybody in the joint now, can you? That's why he's a Duke.
Why don't we wait outside here for him?
Well, why don't we wait inside for him?
Because I got orders, that's why.
Well, what are your specific orders, by the way?
Specific orders, Brain, was for me not to let no one go inside.
How's the president holding up, by the way? Is any political discussions you've had with him?
That Brain is a real pain in the ass. He's always sniffing around like a dog.
Comes up with the gas.
The president, his eye bruised, spots Snake sneaking in through the window.
What are you looking at?
Snake is shot in the thigh with a crossbow dart. He hurls a shuriken into the thug's forehead. The thug drops. Snake limps over to the trembling president, whose left hand is bandaged.
Are you from the outside?
Stop shaking.
I can't. Who are you?
Hawks at me, and we've got to move fast.
Move fast? You're goddamn right, I'll move fast.
Quiet.
Untied, the president jumps down from the train. His briefcase is still handcuffed to him. A limping Snake leads him along the outside of the carriage. Up ahead, unattended campfires are burning. Snake grits his teeth, his hand clamped on his injured thigh. Suddenly, a man leaps on him. More thugs leap down off the carriage roof and haul the president away. Snake blocks punches and beats away two men. Another thug bull rushes him, pinning him to the side of the carriage. More ruffians wearing bandanas swarm over Snake, restraining him. He can't move. Maggie and Brain watch from a distance.
We got him. Watch him.
The Duke steps down from the carriage just behind Brain. Romero swings down to join them.
Friend of yours, Brain?
He had a gun on me, Duke. There was nothing I could do.
The Duke leaves them, heading for the scene of the fight. Romero follows and flings his arm, pointing back at Brain.
Maggie.
A motley collection of grimy thugs are staring at Snake. The Duke steps in front of them and removes his shades. His right cheek twitches several times.
Who are you?
Snake stares back coolly. The Duke's cheek twitches again. The Duke twists the dart in Snake's thigh.
I said, who are you?
Snake Plissken, Duke. The man sent him in here. Something's going down. We need him.
The Duke relaxes and loosens his grip on the dart, which is embedded in Snake's thigh. Snake's trousers are coated with blood. Snake falls back against the side of the carriage.
Snake Plissken.
The Duke lifts a tire iron to Snake's face.
I've heard of you.
He thwacks Snake's head with a tire iron. Snake slumps unconscious, and they let him fall to the floor. The Duke stands over him.
I heard you were dead.
In the night sky, a police chopper flashes a bright searchlight downwards. A grim-faced pilot checks his downview monitor, an illuminated digital representation of the Manhattan buildings below him.
This is surveillance monitor security control. Nothing on the infrared body scan. Nothing in the searchlight.
Priority control. Negative on infrared body scan. No movement in the searchlights. Something strange going on down there.
The master life clock tracer status reads 12:27:37. Snake is lying on a mattress watched over by two guards.
We've got to go in now.
We hold.
You're countermanding my orders, Hulk.
This is my prison. I'll give the orders.
I override all that.
Just try.
A misty morning view of Manhattan.
This is surveillance for security control. Nothing on the infrared body scan. Make it better sweep. Surveillance 10. Don't make anyone scan. Surveillance 5, negative. The whole prison was deserted. There's nothing moving anywhere.
Hulk watches from the wall.
This is surveillance 4, security control. Nothing on the infrared body scan. Still negative.
A crossbow bolt is trained on Snake's head. His eyes flutter. One guard is a bearded Asian guy with a studded metallic top, red bandana, and round-rimmed glasses, one frame missing. Three other bizarrely dressed guards loom. Maggie and Brain walk through a large, empty warehouse building. Duke's thugs race past. Duke sits, shooting Snake's gun. A crowd stand cheering. Maggie and Brain approach with tentative steps. The Duke's target is the President, manacled to a wall. Snake stirs. He is shirtless, displaying a huge cobra tattoo on his belly. He sits up with difficulty. Guards train primitive crossbows on him.
Don't move, Snake.
The guard tenses. Snake feels his wrist where the timer used to be. The paunchy president stands petrified against a wall pocked with fresh bullet holes. Brain steps forward.
I want that diagram, Brain.
It's at my place, Duke. Duke, that Pliskin said something about a time limit.
What time limit?
On him.
That's a lot of crap. What did I teach you?
You are Duke of New York. You're A number one.
I can't hear you.
You are the Duke of New York. You're A number one.
Get me the diagram.
Duke, don't kill Pliskin. We need him.
Brain sits beside the bald Duke.
Get moving, Brain.
Romero laughs at Brain, who leaves. The Duke shoots the briefcase, which flips open, disgorging papers and a cassette. The red-faced president is shaking with fear. Romero has a cloth jerkin and bronze armbands. He stops in front of the president and theatrically runs a hand through his own spiky hair. Romero kicks the cassette across the floor and then picks it up. He puts it to his ear, examines it, and sticks it in the breast pocket of his jerkin, all the while staring at the president. Two tattooed, bearded, bandana-wearing gang members untie the ropes binding the president's arms. The president looks fearful. They lead him away. A police... A second helicopter is flying alongside. In an overgrown Central Park, poorly dressed Manhattan residents look up at the two machines. The helicopter observer on his radio.
People out below the park, can you see them? Surveillance 10 to security control. Are you getting that readout? That pulse there in the infrared. We have a visual sighting on it. It's a crowd of prisoners in Central Park. Waving at us, signaling us from the foot-drop area. They're waving us down.
Hulk watches a monitor in the control room. The gaggle of prisoners wave enthusiastically at the helicopter as it comes into land on the overgrown parkland. The downdraft sends a cloud of dust swirling up. The prisoners run off, and a squad of armed police leap out. Lying on a box, the president's brown briefcase. Severed chain still attached. A policeman grabs it. Snake sits groggily on a bed. In the cavernous library, Maggie loads a revolver. Brain stands in front of a map of Manhattan.
I still can't figure out whether that son of a bitch Pliskin was telling the truth or not. God, I hate that guy.
He got in somehow.
Yeah, but how? You gotta land a glider and take off. You can't do it in Central Park. There's too many trees, port authorities, too low to the ground. Unless it was someplace high up. World Trade Center. That's it. There we go, the World Trade Center. And it's going to be a hell of a lot easier for me to take off than it was for him to land.
Reading a note in the briefcase.
Amnesty for all prisoners in New York City in exchange for president. 69th Street Bridge tomorrow, 12 noon. No bullshitteries. Dead.
Where's the tape?
Not here.
From the briefcase, Hauk retrieves some black night goggles.
They're Pliskins.
So much for your man, Hauk.
Warm up the choppers, we're moving in.
Armed police swarm across the landing area and into several helicopters. A massive Stars and Stripes flag hangs from the freeway behind. Inside, in front of an instrument panel, Hauk is hunched over a microphone.
Pliskin.
The live clock traces status readout, 01-56-39. Snake is punched hard on the arm.
Come on, get up!
Escorted by five thugs, topless Snake is dragged along by his arm towards the door. They pass two men carrying a bloodied corpse on a stretcher. Snake is limping badly. They approach the doors to the Duke's chamber. They enter. A crowd of exotically dressed crazies are gathered. The prisoners wave excitedly, giving Snake the gladiatorial thumbs-down gesture. Prisoners line Snake's path, jeering him. Other prisoners hang off primitive scaffolding, which holds up banks of seats, in the centre of which is a wrestling ring. Torches on poles burn on each corner of the primitive ring. Snake struggles to climb over the ropes and into it. Surrounded by the baying mob, Snake looks around, taking stock. A huge man walks out and climbs into the ring. He is tall, muscular, bearded and bald, wearing black trunks with a studded belt. He glares menacingly and lifts up wide his powerful arms. In the centre of the ring, he slowly revolves, milking the applause, his arms held aloft. The Duke is seated, watching from a balcony. Cheering prisoners line overlooking galleries. Snake stands immobile in his corner. A giant wrestler turns to face him, glowering malevolently. Snake looks unimpressed. The giant is wearing a leather collar and has Snake's timer on his wrist. The Duke stands forward, looking down on the spectacle. The Duke slowly raises his arms and the crowd calm down. A large medallion hangs on his naked chest. He has put his hat back on. The Duke lowers his arms.
They sent in their best man. And when we roll down the 69th Street Bridge tomorrow, on our way to freedom, we're gonna have their best man leading the way from the neck up.
The Duke grips his own throat. The crowd wave their appreciation. Snake looks on, unmoved. His opponent grins at him and salutes the Duke. The Duke raises his arms again.
On the hood of my car!
The Duke punches both fists in the air. The crowd wave their arms aloft.
Let's do it!
The giant is handed a baseball bat. Snake faces off against his brutish-looking opponent, both men wielding baseball bats. They circle each other. The brute closes and Bat hits back. The brute knocks Snake back onto the ropes and thwacks him hard in the belly before throwing him down on the canvas. Snake rolls to avoid a crushing blow. Brain and Maggie walk briskly away from the fight chamber to a door marked Executive Room. Romero wearing Cabby's yellow hat.
Romero, where'd you get the hat?
Got it from Cabby.
Yeah?
Traded him.
For what?
What are you so nervous about?
You gotta see the president.
Who says?
The Duke.
No, he doesn't.
Well, I'll have to tell him you said that.
Wait a minute. Why?
He's got something hidden in his clothing and the Duke wants it.
What?
I'll show you.
You'll tell me.
Cyanide capsules. The Duke don't want a dead president.
Gentlemen. Mr. President.
The president sits inside the opulent office, bound by ropes to a chair, wearing a long blonde wig. Ghoulish-looking Romero closes the door. Brain sets a bush knife down on the floor.
Cyanide.
Yeah, he might try to take it tomorrow.
That's a bunch of bullshit. You're not supposed to be in here, Brain.
Brain stabs Romero in the stomach. Maggie shoots three goons. Brain lowers wheezing Romero to the floor. Brain unties the ropes, freeing the president, who throws off the blonde wig angrily. The brute throws down his baseball bat. Snake is slumped, gasping in his corner, the crowd going wild behind him. He grips his bat tightly. He spots the hawk bracelet Hout gave him on the wrist of the Asian thug, ringing the bell next to the fighting arena. He is presented with a bin-lid shield, which he slings on his arm, and another baseball bat studded with nails. The brute advances on him, similarly armed. Maggie, Brain, and the President creep out. Maggie propels the President from behind as they scurry away. One of the Duke's goons watches them go and looks thoughtful. Back in the ring. The brute bashes his bat down hard on Snake's shield. Snake stumbles and hits back. They exchange vicious blows. The brute swings. Snake ducks. Snake reels under another blow. And another, and another. He recovers and hits back. Snake is sent flying into the ropes. The brute rips away Snake's shield and they lock bats. The brute throws Snake to the canvas and lifts his bat high, two-handed. Snake strikes the exposed belly and, from behind, embeds his bat into the brute's skull. Open-mouthed, eyes rolling, the brute drops and hangs off the ropes. The crowd punch the air with their fists. As the Asian thug grabs at Snake, Snake flips open the hawk bracelet and hits the red button within.
Tracer activated at 1 hour, 35 minutes, 27 seconds.
The brute is hanging limply over the ropes. Snake retrieves the stolen wrist timer and stumbles around the center of the ring. The timer reads 01:34:54. The goon who spotted Brain leaving whispers in the Duke's ear. The Duke suddenly leaps up and disappears, his bodyguards following close behind. The goon stands up on the Duke's empty chair. The crowd rush out of the chamber. Snake tumbles out of the ring and, clutching at his bad leg, trots off limping. Watches over to Chopper number 3, whose blades are whirring, ready for takeoff. Moving red blip on a monitor.
He's approaching the World Trade Center.
I knew that son of a bitch was alive.
He's inside.
Snake enters a room, its walls covered with graffiti. A grimy yellow car is parked up inside. He heads up a staircase. The blip disappears from the screen.
It's gone. Signal only lasts for 15 minutes. Download the choppers. We're in standby situation. Anybody could have pushed that button. Only Plissken knew there was a safety catch. I will give him a little more time just to make sure.
Clock reads 00:59:44. Snake arrives on the roof to find Maggie and Brain fighting other prisoners. With an axe, one man is chopping the wire attaching the gunfire to the roof. He slices the wire, and the gunfire plummets groundwards. Brain is throwing rocks.
Goddamn Redskins! They're savages, Mr. President!
Snake grabs the gun off Maggie and shepherds the group away, taking shots at the attacking gang. He shoots one man in the belly. They pile into the open elevator. Inside the building, Snake leads the president, grabbing his arm.
Listen, Snake, I swear to God, I thought you were dead.
Yeah, you and everybody else. That's your car in the lobby?
Yeah, keys. Quick, diagram of the bridge. Yeah. Hey.
I'm the only one who knows how to read that, Snake.
Stay out of my way, Harold.
Besides, you can't read and drive at the same time. You need us!
You shouldn't have double-crossed me again, Brain.
Come on, let's go. They saw the top.
The tape?
Gone. I don't know where.
I do.
Both men stare at Brain.
I swear to God, Snake, I know where it is. Just take us to the car. I'll take you right to it.
Snake throws Brain the diagram paper. Brain smiles at Maggie. They all run off together and down the staircase, Snake still limping and clutching at the banister for support. They reach the yellow car. Brain and Maggie are suffering.
Don't talk. Breathe.
Come on, we're wasting time.
What's wrong?
Dead, Harold.
Here, take this.
They open the boot. A thug inside with a crossbow.
Got trouble?
The crossbow is trained on Snake, who looks up inquiringly. The Duke and dozens of his men saunter out.
Hi, Duke.
Next to the Duke is a bizarre mechanical contraption pumping out steam.
The whole deal of yours is over, Snake. You and Brain just say goodbye to each other.
Snake shoots the tank on the contraption, which then spews forth clouds of steam. The Duke and his retinue cower. Snake and his allies run for it. The Duke and his gang charge after them. Outside, a familiar battered yellow cab pulls up. Driving it is a hatless cabbie. Snake and co. race toward it. The cab chugs off, Snake driving. The Duke's army are in pursuit. Brain holds up his diagram of the mines on the bridge.
There are three mines right here, then you go up the drive, and then there's three more.
They come in groups of threes.
Where's the tape, Brain?
Tape,
huh? What tape?
Where is it? The tape from the briefcase.
Oh, that tape. Here it is.
You traded Romero your hat?
How'd you know?
See?
The discovery of the tritium creates only one one-millionth. Biological damage of iodine-1.
Here, give me that tape.
Not just yet.
Snake's timer reads 00:23:18. The cab skids round a corner and down a darkened street. It is nighttime. Snake checks the rearview mirror. Duke's Cadillac with the chandelier hood ornaments races round a corner and accelerates under a bridge. Silver tinsel hangs off its boot. Atop the bridge, Snake's cab zooms past.
Easy!
Go for it, Snake!
An upturned car wreck blocks their path. Headlights on full, the taxi drives up a ramp and sails over the wreck, landing with a bump. A view from the taxi roof as the vehicle zigzags between obstacles. Snake's face is set, determined. His hands grip the wheel and Maggie's gun. An explosion underneath them. Snake drives on. The Duke is driving fast, his cheek twitching. The Cadillac flies over the ramp, landing on the bridge. Duke's car swerves past obstacles. His eyes are unblinking, his face gleaming, golden epaulettes on his jacket. An explosion rocks his car. He carries on.
I gotta slow down a little, Snake.
I think there are 3 miles ahead, Snake.
You think?
The Duke dips his shoulder as he drives. In the taxi's back seat, Brain is clutching his diagram and reading from it.
Stay left. Stay left, stay left, and then jog right when I tell you.
You're pushing it too hard, Snake.
Okay, now!
An explosion under the cab pulverizes it. Smoking, it spins out of control. It has been split clean in two. From the front half of the car, Snake stumbles out of the driver's seat. Snake looks back down the bridge. From the smoking rear half of the car, the other three emerge. The president still has a handcuff and severed chain attached. Brain jerks his body angrily.
I said jog right,
you asshole.
Snake pulls Cabby back upright in his seat. Cabby is lifeless, his head lolls, his forehead covered in fresh blood. The four survivors run across the narrow, litter-strewn bridge. Brain separates from the others. An explosion blows Brain through the air, and he lands heavily on the roof of an abandoned car. Stunned, Maggie walks back slowly to check him. Snake watches her.
Brain.
Brain's bloodied corpse.
Keep moving.
Snake scans back down the deserted bridge road. He checks his timer.
Maggie. He's dead. Come on.
She offers her hand out to Snake, her face now frozen with determination. She swallows hard. Snake ponders, then tosses her the gun. He smiles slightly and leaves. Maggie looks again at Brain's body, and then back down the bridge road. A snake disappears into the night. She walks round to stand in front of the abandoned car. Holding the gun in two hands, she aims down the road back toward Manhattan. She pulls the trigger. Distant headlights approaching at speed. Her eyes light up. One of the Cadillac's headlights is shot out. Maggie stands unflinching as the Duke's car smashes into her. She is crushed against the abandoned car. Duke leaps out, still carrying Snake's gun. Maggie lies, seeping blood, in a gory mess under the Cadillac. Remy runs into the control room.
Station 19. They spotted two cars on the 69th Street Bridge.
Is it Plisken?
Taxi cab and a Cadillac. The taxi hit a mine. There's four people on foot.
14 minutes.
Get a Jeep with a winch over there fast. Cronenberg, get over to Station 19. They're coming across the bridge.
The president staggers past upturned cars toward the high prison wall at the end of the bridge.
This is Remy. Security control.
Under the wall on the other side, police attach a line to their Jeep's front bumper. A rope is lowered down the wall.
Do not fire on prisoners. Repeat. Do not fire on prisoners. All vehicles, stand by. Repeat. All vehicles, stand by.
Barbed wire atop the wall is cut. The line from the Jeep is now attached to the rope. Snake catches up with the president. Snake and the president clamber up a slope of debris that rises just under the wall. From above, a rope with a harness is lowered. With the harness strapped round his chest, the president is hauled up the wall. The Duke runs towards them. Snake checks his timer. 00:01:32. The Duke opens fire. Snake ducks and leaps for cover. Two policemen are shot off the wall. The Duke advances. The harness is lowered down again. Snake throws himself onto the Duke's back. They scuffle in the dirt. Snake elbows the Duke in the stomach and rips away his weapon. Snake limps back toward the wall and the harness. The Duke scrambles around for his gun. Snake is hoisted upwards. A hand appears, pulling a lever on a winch, and Snake suddenly stops moving. Snake looks up and down, desperately. Armed again, the Duke charges. The President shoots him from the top of the wall.
Hey, number one! You're the Duke!
The Duke's bloodied body jerks violently.
You're the Duke! Hey, number one.
The Duke lies dead. The President's hand reappears to reset the winch lever. Snake continues upwards, past lettering on the wall, reading, Station 19. Snake clambers over railings. On the far side, Snake is lowered on a line, a policeman paying out rope from a Jeep. Snake drops the last few meters. More official vehicles speed up. Snake shoves a policeman out of the way and limps towards the medic who is preparing machinery. Hauk steps between them, resting a hand on Snake's chest.
The safe, policeman.
Snake looks at Hauk murderously before handing over a cassette tape. The medic jumps forward and clamps electrical pads on either side of Snake's neck. The pads jolt, and the medic removes them.
That's it.
Timer reads 02, then 01, then 00. Snake glares at Hauk, looks down to the timer, then back at Hauk. A Jeep pulls up in the landing area. Remy strides over to where the President sits flanked by security, being shaved and made up.
Radio to head, Mr. President. They know the situation. They're waiting for your broadcast.
Yeah.
He holds up his bandaged, mutilated hand.
Oh, it's all right.
Snake limps over, cigarette dangling from the corner of his mouth. The President smiles.
I want to thank you. Anything you want, you just name it.
Just a moment of your time.
3 minutes, sir.
Yes?
We did get you out. A lot of people died in the process. I just wondered how you felt about it.
Well, I want to thank them. This nation appreciates their sacrifice.
The President checks his face in a handheld mirror. Snake eyes him coldly.
I'm on the air in 2.5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
The President smiles smugly to himself. Snake takes a drag on his cigarette and throws it to the floor. He strides off. Snake limps slowly across the tarmac, which glistens with puddles of rainwater. Outside the control room, Hauk stands against a wall, smoking.
You gonna kill me now, Snake?
I'm too tired. Maybe later.
I've got another deal for you. I want you to think it over while you're resting. I want to give you a job. We'd make one hell of a team, Snake.
Snake takes the unlit cigarette from his mouth and turns his head away.
The name's Plissken.
He carries on walking. The President, dressed in a smart suit and tie, stands in front of a microphone. He smiles a politician's smile.
You're on camera, Mr. President.
Good evening. Although I shall not be present at this historic summit meeting, I present this in the hope that our great nations may learn to live in peace.
He inserts a cassette tape. His smile fades, and he looks down at the ground, mortified. Snake Plissken is walking, holding a cassette tape. He snaps it open, and pulls the tape out length after length, crumples it in his hands, and rips the extracted tape in two. He discards the mangled tape. ITFC audio description.